in the RDS with Leinster's car. It's all over.
Out up the hill, it's Album Photo. Annabelle Fly is staying on well, but no photo required. Album Photo is the Magnus Cheltenham Gold Cup.
Free climbing for the ball, high into the stand. Who's going to win this one? Breaks around midfield, and Michael have been crowned the Intermediate Camogie Champion.
Hello, everybody. This is Kieran Murphy, the founder, creator, and presenter of the new Across the Four Legs podcast. From Carlow, I am a freelance sports writer. Whether it is match reports, feature articles, news items, or whatever, my topic is almost exclusively sport. This new podcast came from an idea generated on the Higher Diploma in Arts and Applied Journalism and New Media Content course, which I am studying at Carlow College and IT Carlow. I invite you to come along with me on this new venture. I promise the path we take will be an interesting and revealing journey. My guest today on the Across the Four Legs podcast is Carlow intercounty footballer Dara Foley. Dara made his minor debut in the late 2000s and in 2010 was on the Carlow under 21 team that had their hearts broken by Dublin at Netwatch Cullen Park. It wasn't to be that night, and Dara has soldiered on with the Carlow senior footballers ever since. He was there for the glory years of 2017 to 2019, scoring the decisive goal in Corrigan Park when Carlow clinched promotion from Division 4 against Antrim. This year, a number of high-profile footballers announced their retirement, but Dara is playing the best football of his life at the moment. With a total of 28 points, he is the leading scorer on the Carlow team so far this year. Dara, when you play inter-county football for the smaller counties, you're not chasing medals, are you?
No, I suppose you're chasing a Division 4 medal there, hoping to trying to finally get a National League medal on your belt. But I suppose the reason you play county football is to test yourself against the best players you can possible, and it's the highest level of football you can play. So that's the main reason I play inter-county football, is I want to test myself against the best players in each county, and I've been fortunate to do that over the last number of years. So I still feel I can contribute, so that's why I'm still going anyway, and still trying to do that and competing against father time now, but it's not going too bad.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what is it that drives you, but that's essentially it, isn't it? It's a simple thing to say the love of the game, but it really is, isn't it? Like, what would you be doing if you weren't playing football yourself? You're from a family that are all sports mad, and look, you're just part of that, aren't you?
That's it, yeah. I'm very lucky to come from a family that's a sports mad family, and it's a GAA mad family. And you know what, I love the professionalism of inter-county GAA. You know, it's the nearest thing that I can get to professional sports, so that's why I love it. I love the structure of it, I love everything that comes with the training, and I probably find it very hard to motivate myself if I wasn't part of something like this to train. You know, it keeps me fit and healthy, and I just love the competitive nature of it, and trying to go out there and a game every weekend and try to represent your family and your friends and everyone as best as possible. And that's the main reason I do it, yeah, just for the competitive edge and trying to be the best I can be at it.
Yeah. And look, during COVID, I met you a few times up at the back of Oak Park, you know, putting in the miles, putting in the training. And that's what you have to do if you want to be a little county footballer, really. You have to put in the extra time.
Yeah, that's it. If you're just relying on going your usual training on a Tuesday, Thursday, and then a game or training at the weekend, unfortunately, you're not going to be up to the standard that you're going to meet. You know, every other player in other counties are putting in that extra work. So if you think you're going to be able to go out there and compete with them if you're doing the bare minimum, unfortunately, you're not. You're not going to be able to do that. And that's why I like putting in the extra bit. And I feel that it keeps me fit and keeps me going, really, and gives me that little edge that I know I had that work done going into the games that I should be well able for it.
And do you ever get a chance to watch other games as well, like the Dublin footballers were relegated this year? Do you get a chance to sort of have an interest in Division 1, Division 2, possibly the hurling leagues, and then the championships when they come around? Do you watch those?
Yeah, I watch all the games, whether it's football or hurling. I'd watch them all, you know, because I find you'd always try kind of find little snippets of what you could try bring into your game off these lads that are operating at a scene as a higher level. So, Yeah, it's always there, and I'm GA mad. I love watching it. So it's when it's on the telly, I love watching the games. Yeah, and as I said, try to pick up a couple of things here or there if I can, and try bringing it into my own game. You know.
Yeah, and if you look at the teams that you've beaten in recent years, Limerick and Louth, they both got promotion from their respective divisions this year. Would you have picked up on that?
Ah, yeah, it's congratulations to the two teams. You know, Louth and Limerick. You know. To see them getting promoted now into Division 2, it's kind of it's hard for me because I always feel that even though we had the good years there between 17 and 19, that we actually didn't achieve as much as we should have achieved, to be honest.
Yeah.
I thought that we should have done back-to-back promotions with the caliber players that we had, and we were all at the right age group that time. But unfortunately, we didn't kick on as much as we wanted to. And you know, you can see it there. Once you get a squad, as you see what Mickey Hart has done and Billy Lee down in Limerick, once you get a settled squad there, and you're playing a good brand of football, and everyone's buying into the one thing, you don't the ceiling. There's no ceiling there. Because there's very little difference between Division 4 counties and the bottom of Division 2, in my opinion. It's only the top six to eight teams that there is a huge difference, you know. So yeah. Anyone can, if you get your house in order, you never know where you might end up.
Yeah, and like a situation like Cork, you can get sucked out of Division 1 and down to Division 3 very quickly too.
Absolutely, yeah. And I suppose some of the bigger counties kind of fall into that trap then, and they might think they're a lot better than they are, you know. Mm. So they can see it there, they're kind of, well, they were lucky at the weekend against Offaly that they survived and stayed up in Division 2.
And look, there's a division of thought in what Carlow should do, what Carlow should be aspiring to. I remember Steve Poacher and Turl O'Brien, they were all on for playing all the big counties as often as possible, getting to them and looking for where the smaller counties are aspiring for, you know, the big day, the big shock. Then there's another train of thought that you play to your standard and you try and win at your standard and working up. And so the Tailteann Cup is here at the moment. I know there's an avenue to stay in the championship, but there's also an avenue that if you don't, you go down to the Tailteann Cup. How do you feel? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I suppose, as Donnie alluded back to the whole time, but when Stevie and Turlo were over us, we really believed that we could beat any team on any given day, no matter who they were or what they were, you know, and that's probably why we were big advocates of not having the Tailteann Cup back then. But looking at this, it's a young team we have now, the lads are learning. So I think if the Tailteann Cup, whenever we do go into that, if this year, will be very beneficial for this team and this squad. And because the league structure that's there, if you're able to win your league or get a promotion from your league, that's the best way of getting up there, and then you'll be ready to push on and play against these top teams. Yeah. Because at the minute, there is a big difference there between a bit of a strength and conditioning wise between top teams and suppose the likes of ourselves that with our younger squad that's only starting off. So we could use this Tailteann Cup as a development thing, hopefully this year, and then we can push into the league next year and hope to get out of it then, you know.
Probably realistically, looking at what's there at the moment, these Carlow lads are possibly going to need another 2 years to really realise their potential. There are some really good footballers in there, and you might have to remain patient for a few years.
Would you
accept that? Am I being defeatist? Or tell me if I'm wrong. I'd be glad. I hope you could tell me I was wrong.
I mightn't be able to see it out then if the 2 or 3 years is the end goal. I suppose this year was about development and getting game time into a lot of new lads and getting up to speed. And suppose every time we went out training and we played our games, bar one or two games where we didn't turn up, we've been thereabouts. And it's only been little small little details that have cost us. And the lads are learning. So I'd be very hopeful that Carlow will be very, very competitive in Division 4 next year and will be aiming to get out of it, you know. Yeah. The only thing is, there's probably eight other teams in it that are thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
And you can see in results in it, everyone's beating each other, you know. And that's, I suppose, that's why league football is the best competition for the likes of Division 4 and 3 counties, where you're getting lots of game time against counties of your own standard, you know. And it's up to yourself then if you're good enough to get out of it and progress on.
Yeah, leaving out the Sligo game, which was one of those games where nothing went right from before the match even started, you were down 9 players. But yeah. Against London was a game I'm sure you felt got away from you. And then there was other games, right? Oh, Wexford last week was a dead rubber, but it was a game that got away with you. You could have so easily have had 8 points in that league instead of three. And that's the point, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what you get when you have a very young team that hasn't played at that level before. You know, we've made a lot of just simple little mistakes that cost us, you know. But like going back into tackles when we shouldn't be doing it, you know. And I suppose the lads are learning, to be fair. Like, it's very hard to come from playing underage county football or playing intermediate or senior or junior club football. County senior football is a totally different game. Everyone is physically strong. And if you're going to go into tackles that you think you're going to go through in club games, you're going to get turned over and we're going to get hurt then, you know. So, listen, the lads are, and in fairness to the boys, they're all buying into strength and conditioning programs and that. And I've no doubt that Carlo will see an improvement within the next 12 months. And it bodes well that these young lads want to be part of it, you know. They want to play county football. Yeah. They want to progress on.
Jamie Clark, the likes of Josh Moore, they're real finds, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's their second, maybe third year, but they've blossomed this year.
They're blossoming there, you know. And as well, like, you have Connor Crowley there, another young man, a really dangerous forward. Colin Hulton, Jordan Marcy is still on. I think a lot of people still only remember that Jordan Marcy is only 22 or 23. That man, he could be whatever footballer he wants to be, you know. And like Shane Boogie there, for me, has been an unbelievable find. Darragh Kern, 2 18-year-olds in your full back line, like, and the lads haven't looked out of place, you know. So there is there's a lot of young lads there. It's just hopefully keep them motivated and keep them really strong and progressing on and wanting to play county football, because they're the nucleus of the Carroll team for the next 10 years if they want it, you know. It's up to them now to drive it on.
Okay. Listen, the GPA, a couple of weeks ago, you lads weren't allowed to talk to me, or you were asked not to talk to the press. What's your feeling on that, on the GPA and the direction they're taking? I'm not criticising one another. I'm just asking you, what's your take on the GPA?
Yeah, I suppose, like, in fairness to yourself, Kieran, you've been very good to us this year with the reports in the paper, and that, you know, it would have been like we finished second bottom with 3 points, but you were very optimistic about our performance in that, you know. That could have been and put it into a different light altogether. Yeah, but the thing about the GPA, they're fighting the players' corner. They only want the best for the players, you know. My situation is very different than the majority of the lads in the panel at the minute, because I'm in full time employment. I'm living in Carroll Town, so I'm lucky enough that I'm not out of pocket heading out to training for the 4 days of the week that we're going. But very hard when we have a majority of our panel are young lads in college in Dublin, and they're not getting anything for coming down out there at the minute, 4 nights of the week, you know. And the issue with the rising cost of fuel and everything, it's getting hard for them lads, and especially in weaker counties like ourselves, or developing counties like ourselves. Maybe not, shouldn't be using the word weaker, but in developing counties like ourselves, if these lads aren't getting looked after, they might say, sure, what's the point of me doing this? Like, you can only do so much for the love of the game, you know. If you're out of pocket and you're under pressure and your studies and all, it's going to be very hard to keep them coming back, you know.
Carlow County Board Chairman Jim Bulger made the point that, right, oh, we'll pay whatever expenses and maybe a bit extra for 4 sessions a week, including a match, so that if counties want to do a bit more, it means that the counties that have money, they're going to get stronger, and maybe smaller counties like Carlow and Loud, who don't have the same resource of finances that Dublin have, but there's going to be a gap will develop because of that as well. Is that a fair comment from Jim?
Yeah, I think it is a fair comment from Jim. I know I was on a call there with Tom Parsons, the head of the GPA. But he was saying, like, some of the top counties, like you were talking Mayo, Tyrone, these lads, and Dublin, they're collectively out 6 nights a week, you know? So, and they're getting well looked after for that. So, well, that's what they're aiming to get well looked after for. So, you know, if the top teams are doing that and we're only failing twice or three times, sure, the gap is only going to get bigger and bigger. It only makes sense that that's going to happen, you know. So it'd be very, like, all the players want to be doing is just being looked after. They just want their expenses covered. They're not, like, no one's in this game to make money like you. It's either. So, for the time we give up, we could be making a farce and doing other things, you know. But if you're not in it for money, you just want your expenses looked after, fuel for your car. That's all that needs. And that's all they deserve, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, some commentators have talked about player welfare if they're training 6 nights a week or a match on 5 nights a week and then one session recovery on a Monday.
Yeah.
It's a fair point too, isn't it?
It is a fair point, yeah. It is. I suppose a lot of teams kind of lose. They're all chasing the big dream, and I suppose if we were at the top end there, you would be doing everything you can to get to Croke Park and Ireland final day. There's no doubt about it, you would. It's always, as you said, player welfare has to come in for it at some stage. And maybe a cap needs to be put on the amount of sessions camera teams can do, because it can just snowball, as we can see over the last couple of years, that horror stories out there about some of the training teams are doing. Like, and you're just saying, like, is there any benefit to it? Probably not.
Yeah.
A lot of hindrance, maybe more so than anything.
Is there any one item that you could give an example of a horror story?
No, I don't want to name it. It's all hearsay. It's all rumours, but sure, there's no smoke with a fire, is there, you know?
I thought you might come up with a gem, you know.
Maybe in private someday I might tell you about some things.
All right. This is amalgamating the ladies at the men's game, Camogie, the Ladies Gaelic Football Association, and the GAA itself. Would you like to see it all under one umbrella?
Absolutely. That should be done and dusted by now. I think in this day and age, we should be all under one umbrella, 100%. 100%. I was only looking at Twitter earlier. I think there's something going on there there's league finals clashing with the ladies and the face football and Camogie. Like, that's, I'm trying to get dual players available. It's crazy, like, you know, and even trying to get grounds for these games as well. It's madness. We definitely should be all under one bracket.
No, yeah, certainly for myself, looking at it, like when you were going for promotion up there in 2018, and then when Meishel were playing their All-Ireland final, and the Carlow Camogie team were playing their All-Ireland final, like it was as tense, equally as intense across the men's game, and hoping that Carlow would get promotion and hoping that the ladies would win their Camogie. And those games, you just get caught up into them, and it's all about the game, it's all about the confrontation at the end of the day, isn't it? And
absolutely, yeah, it is. And that's why I just can't understand why we're not all under the one GAA bracket. You know, there shouldn't be separate organizations. We're all the one. We're all out representing our own clubs and our counties, and two organizations, it's crazy. It doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. Listen, looking at your own club, you're a small club. At times you struggle to field the team, but you always do. And then you come in, you're a bit like a Carlow team. Sometimes you fight above your weight when you're going well. And like, you've two Intermediate Football Championship medals, and I'm sure those two medals, you're as proud to have them as any medal. And they mean the world to you, and your club means the world to you as well.
Well, that's it, sure. You're nothing without your club, you know. You can't play inter-county without representing your club, you know. And I know we're a very small club, but I feel privileged to be from where I'm from, you know. It's probably, being from Kilbride probably is after giving me a lot of determination and a bit more grit, and, you know, to be able to stick out things. And, you know, always know that there might be brighter days ahead, you know. You just have to just grin and bear it and drive it on and try to improve as best possible where you can, you know. That's what we do in Kilbride. We make the most of what we have, you know.
You do.
That's the beauty of it, you know. You have to just find a way some days, and that's probably something that we have out there that maybe other teams don't, that you just have to find a way.
Yeah, you beat Clonmore, wasn't it, after a replay in Intermediate Final to win your first one. Is my memory right?
Yeah, you're on the ball here. That was in 08. We beat Clonmore after a replay. And we actually played Division 1 league football that year. And that was a huge bit. We got to the league Division 1 final against their old senior team. And they beat us by 6 or 7 points on the day. But we had some great games. We beat Rafferty. We beat Palatine along the way. We beat Tinryla. It was massive for our club and our area. And I suppose we were blessed that we had a great crop of players coming at the one time, you know. And in fairness to the boys, they're all still there, and there's some men, you know. I just do it for the community, like, because it would have been easy for them to stop and family life taking over and that, but they're all back training last night and all the old heads back. Just talking to the brother area, a lot of the old heads back down, you know, driving on. So unbelievable men.
And then you broke Grange Hearts a couple of years ago too. You're all county mate John Murphy. I think, was it you got the winning point that day? If it wasn't the winning point, it was the equalising point.
We had a great win over Grange, you know. We actually started off really well, and I think we were well 6 or 7 points up in the second half. But we had done that all year that year. We started off real well, and then we just hung on to results. And I think if the game had went on a couple of minutes more, we would have been in trouble, because we only came out with a 1 point win that day. And you know, it's always a battle against Grange, because again, Grange are a club like ourselves. They're always battling above themselves, you know.
That's right, yeah.
Suppose they take great pride in themselves as well, and that's once you're from a small club, you have such pride in the area that you want to compete against the big teams. You want to cause upsets, you know. And we used to love doing that, you know. That was one of the key driving factors in us.
Yeah, well, in fairness, I wrote you off in 2008, and Patrick Nolan thanked me at the end. He said, "Thanks very much for writing me off."
Yeah, we always we use that as a bit of a motivation that year, all right, Kieran. Yeah. I didn't want to bring that up.
I think you made a mistake, and then put my own hands up and say I got it wrong.
I think it was actually that article was Derry O'Toole, our goalie, had that set of tape in the restroom that year. So
good. At least you're reading the paper anyway.
Yeah, that's it. We do.
We just changed something slightly and go on to another sport. I don't know if you saw it at the weekend. Colin were playing Leinster, and one of your he's not quite in your parish, but Tom Daly got sent off after 2 minutes. Did you see that incident?
I didn't see the incident. I just seen the report that he got sent off. And Tom actually was in the same parish as myself.
Yeah,
you know, we would have played football together all up along underage. And he scores. A lot of people talk about Sean O'Brien being a loss to Carroll GAA, and he was. But Tom Daly would have been equally as big a loss, you know, because he was a superb footballer. You know, he had the size, the skill, everything. You know, so it was a huge loss when he went the rugby route, unfortunately.
Yeah. Look, I know James. Is it James is coaching the Tullow, or was coaching the Tullow ladies? James, your brother, isn't it?
Yeah, he was.
I'd be happy sure don't get it mixed up with Sean.
No, James was. Yeah. James is involved. He was coaching the Tullow ladies there for a few years, and they were very successful. He stepped down there maybe 2 or 3 before the pandemic. He stepped down, but he's not idle. He's doing a bit of refereeing now at the minute, Kieran.
Yeah, well, that was my next question. Have you had red cards in the past? I presume you're at the level you play at. You've had one or two.
We've had one or two city ones maybe over the years. I think it was when I got sent off against Kilkenny in a league match in Freshford, and I always remember that. I got 2 yellow cards, and I still don't know what the second yellow one was for. So I always remember that one. But I can't really remember. Maybe 3 or 4 times over my whole career between club and county, I've been maybe sent off. All in the wrong anyway, Kieran, you know.
Well, I've envisioned of your brother James and yourself coming face to face on a football pitch somewhere. He's the man in the middle and you're the man that's in trouble. You know, could that situation happen?
I don't think it could. I'd probably be down standing doing umpire down the goal, maybe.
Well, Jim does that as well, your father, doesn't he? Jim, your father, does a lot of umpiring for James.
Yeah, he does. He does umpiring for James there. Yeah, first James, he's getting on great at the refereeing there. He's actually refereeing the Kildare Miners now at the weekend, the Leinster Championship. I think they're playing Offaly in Kildare. So, yeah, it's his first big Leinster Minor Championship game. So, he'll have a good support team anyway. So
who else is going?
Well, I'm actually not available this Saturday. I'm raging, but my father will be there. Liam Foley, I'm sure you know. Willie O'Toole, a great Kilbride man, and probably Colin O'Toole as well, another great Kilbride man. So he'll be well looked after in that regard anyway.
Yeah. And as you say, those lads are certainly doing it for the love of the game. There's no medals in that part of the GAA, is there, unless you do the All-Ireland final?
But that's it. I know, speaking of James, he wants to get the title high up the ladder as he progresses on and referee those big matches, hopefully in the next few years.
Listen, we'll finish up now shortly, Dara. Look, just looking forward, the league is finished. You've some good performances, I would say. There's 1 or 2 disappointing performances. Now you've got Louth in the Championship. You're on a week off this week. and you're back, presume, full training next week. What's the thought process in the camp now, looking forward to the championship?
Yeah, it's what a lot. Everyone's excited for the championship, you know. It's especially the younger lads that we spoke about. You know, they haven't been a part of that yet. And for all the league games, championship is a different animal. For I don't know why, it's just built up in the media and built up everywhere that it's a huge deal. And you know, we're under all illusions that it's going to be very tough against a very good Louth team who've just been promoted to Division Two. But you know, you never know, these games are one-off matches. You never know, and we like, as I said earlier, there's very little difference between Division 4 counties and the bottom of Division 2, you know. As long as we get a performance right and we're in the game in the home stretch, we fancy ourselves against anyone. So that's the key thing for us. And there'll be a buzz in training now, building up the championship. Weather's getting better, you know, and it's hard ground. Hard ground might suit me, an older lad who doesn't have much speed, but it'll suit a lot of our other players, you know.
The more than you're letting on now, in fairness to you.
That's that.
You're more letting on, in fairness to you. Yeah,
but no, I'm excited for it, you know. It's like Loud, a good team, but not to be feared either, so we're looking forward to it.
How many years is this now, playing in Leinster?
This is my 13th year. Yeah, 13.
Very good, yeah.
Yeah. So,
presume Wexford and Dublin around that time when you were getting promoted would have been the highlights, or is there any other game that you can think of that stands out?
Yeah, like that Wexford game in the grounds was a great day when we beat them, you know. Suppose the championship game that always sticks out for me would be the Loud game. Just after we got promoted, we were after getting beaten in the league final, and we were very disappointed in our performance that day, you know, that we didn't turn up really, and we didn't perform to our best of our ability. And then Brendan was gone to America, so we put on performance that day against Loud and Port Leash. I think we scored, I don't know, it was 218, and we beat them by 9 or 10 points, I think, in the wind-up. That was huge for us. And we had in the conference then, and should end the big day against Kildare, and probably I'll never forget that day either, you know. So
massive.
I've had a lot of dark days, but I think a lot of the good days are after making up for it, you know. Your day always make up for them, but dark days.
Yeah. Bear with me now for another minute or two. The best player outside the county you've ever come up against?
Best player outside, for me?
Yeah.
You know, we've played against all the big teams, you know, but one man that always stood out for me has been probably the best player I've played against would be Gary Brennan from Clare.
You're joking.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not. Gary Brennan from Clare. Dublin or Down or any of these, no?
No, Gary Brennan, I would have played against him for a few years when Clare were in Division 4 and that, and like, he was a powerhouse of a midfielder. Right? He would have made any county team, in my opinion. Yeah. He'd be very similar to Brendan Murphy, you know. The two of them would have been very similar, big, strong, athletic, and could kick off both feet. But yeah, probably Gary Brennan would be the one that will always stick out in my memory, even though we've played against Dublin and Tyrone and Manon and these players. Yeah. But I think Gary would have been the majority of teams in the country.
Yeah, I may contact him and tell him that you said that and tell him to listen to the podcast.
And fairness to Gary, he got a recognition towards the end. Like, he played the compromise rules. He was a catalyst in that Clare team. Look where they are now, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a testament to them that they're still there, even though he retired, you know, because he was their main man for a long, long time. But yeah, Gary would be, he'd be well up there in my estimation. He is probably one of the best I've played against.
And maybe finally, who's the best player inside the county, the player you most admire? Bearing in mind, of course, that you could be coming up against some of these lads during the year as well.
That's a tough one now. That is a tough one. Playing at the moment, player I probably admire the most will be Jamie Clark. Just playing with him at the minute, you know, I think he's just a super bit of stuff, you know. A lot of players, people might, you know, he mightn't be that tall, but he can jump, he can tackle, he can run, he can score. He's kind of a complete package there, and he's going to be a huge player for Carlow going forward, you know. Yeah. And you can see in his performance, even there for Bangistown, you know, he's a huge driver in that team, you know. So, yeah, probably the player I admire the most in Carlow at the minute probably will be Jamie.
Listen, I think it's good to finish on that. Dara Foley, Kilbride and Carlo, Intercounty Footballer, thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks very much for your time, and thanks for everything as always. Thank you.